The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
To the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and on this episode, we are talking about affirmative action and a re-up through the Supreme Court that is on tap. Also, why does everyone hate Chris Brown so much? We will discuss. And it's special. It's new. It's something that we've never done before. Oh, wait. We've done it like five times. I'm joined tonight by Matthew Kruger of Savage Vibrations.
Hello.
To talk about all of it. Matthew, how are you doing, dude?
Fairly well.
It's good to see you.
Nice to be seen.
Welcome to the queue. Also, if you'd like to join in on the caller lines, 314-714-4200. That's across the nation from your cell phone, from your house phone, because we don't have those long distance problems that we used to have about 12 years ago. Now you can literally just call anyone anytime at any area code. So 314-714-4200. If you are watching live, if you are listening to this on the podcast and it's Friday afternoon at like 3 o'clock, we're not here, so don't call. You're going to call some other show or random person, and they're not going to know what the hell you're talking about. But you're going to jump in talking about affirmative action, and it's going to be fantastic. As we need to do every single time that we have a guest on, let's get down to business. Matthew.
Yes, sir.
You're a conservative.
I consider myself to be conservative. Ouch. Most of the time.
Wow, that's got to hurt. Okay.
I guess that was a heck of an insult.
No insult.
Ouch, that's gotta
hurt.
It
has been a while since we've had you on the show.
So I understand. You got to dig on me right out the bat. Get it out of the way.
Also, by the way, Monster Energy sponsors the show every single week. And as I always say, it blends in nicely with the background. So
if you line it up right there with that skyscraper, you can't even see it.
The skyscraper. How have you been? How's life treating you?
It treats me okay. I get by.
You get by?
I have my very small, menial complaints that I'm sure everybody has about their lives. But overall, no major complaints. I'm relatively content.
Like CM Punk winning Elimination Chamber over Chris Jericho? Would that be a relative small complaint?
No, actually, because I care for them both pretty equally.
I am kind of intrigued by this whole WWE WrestleMania setup that we've got. Getting ready to pop off. And let me explain why.
Okay.
Because I really like the idea of Chris Jericho versus CM Punk at WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a very entertaining match. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think you're going to see a lot of things that you don't typically get from your... I would say that these guys are obviously, they're both main eventers at this point in their
yes.
careers.
Yes.
And usually with WrestleMania, they set up their biggest, best matches, or they attempt to. But sometimes you get some flops. You know, I thought that the Randy Orton legacy match a few years ago was okay. That's the one where they dropped the RKO behind him and he did the thing afterwards. I thought that was a decent match, but it was like a guy who was pretty much main event level at that point versus two mid-carders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know not every single person on the WWE roster is main event. I know that they're not. And, you know, everyone knows where their place is. I think that they're setting this up for a decent WrestleMania. Last year's Undertaker versus Triple H match was potentially, on that entire card, the best match.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
I think it was.
So you're going to get that again. Now you're going to get CM Punk Jericho, which is nice, because you're going to get a really solid match out of those two. The one that's kind of worrying me a lot is this whole Daniel Bryan situation, man. And I'm not against
Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
I'm not against Daniel Bryan or Sheamus. But I just don't know if Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus is really going to pop everybody the way they really want it to.
They'll really have to tear the house down, so to speak.
Yeah, they're going to
blow the roof off. They're going to have to do something amazing because out of all of the main event matches, it's the one that's a little lackluster. It's lacking the star power, the name quality, the veteran aspect. Now, Daniel Bryan is a very, very technically skilled wrestler. He's better on the mic each and every week. He went from being the lovable loser an internet darling to now apparently one of the more hated people on SmackDown. And that was a very easy, simple transition for him to make. And Sheamus is just, let's just say he's not camera friendly for one.
By no means. I wouldn't say.
Pops out of the background kind of nice.
Pretty much blows out any camera when it comes to the White House.
He's a powerhouse. He's a brawler, and he goes da, and he smacks people in the chest.
Let me ask you a question. We've got three huge potential main events. I mean, I would say Jericho versus Punk's huge. Obviously, Rock versus Cena's huge, and Triple H versus Undertaker's huge.
In hell,
in a cell. Now, that's my question. We're going to have to put Punk, Cena, Jericho off to the side for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, of the three, though, it seems to be the one that has the least cannon fodder for it. Probably is going to potentially be the best event to watch as far as wrestling goes, because you're going to see some really good true pro wrestling.
Right.
Now,
the best in the world
but
at what they do.
You're in Miami.
Doing it together.
That's right. You're in Miami at The Rock's home. Okay? Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's his hometown. It's WrestleMania. So you got that aspect. And they've been popping this for a whole year with his name. Okay, a whole year. In fact, I remember the Monday Night Raw after last year's WrestleMania. Me and this guy were sitting together, and we both looked at each other and were like,
really?
A year out, you're booking the main event for
anything
the next year's WrestleMania?
In a year's time.
Anything can happen. The Rock could have died in a plane crash, and instead of Whitney Houston, we would have had Rock coverage for like 4 days in his entire WWE career, as well as the Tooth Fairy. Okay? But anything could have happened. But here we are. Everybody seems to be safe and sound and ready to rock and roll for WrestleMania at the end of
Everybody
March.
Everybody but Wade Barrett.
Everybody but Wade Barrett.
Did you hear about?
Yes, I heard about him. He got himself hurt. A little hurt. No big deal. It's going to happen. It's part of being a professional wrestler and being in the business. Now, on the other side of that card, you have Triple H versus The Undertaker with the whole streak on the line. The way they're playing up this whole streak aspect, I don't think Triple H is going to win. I think Triple H is going to walk out of that the loser again. I think that The Undertaker goes 20-0, and then that's the end of that. But it is the streak. It is potential. This is The Undertaker's last WrestleMania. It might be time for homeboy to retire. So my question for you, Matt, is you're booking WrestleMania for WWE.
Oh, no.
Yes, the main event poster has The Rock and Cena's heads like this.
Brought to you by Matthew Kruger.
But with the dichotomy that is this Triple H Undertaker match, which it could be the Undertaker's final match, the streak at WrestleMania is that important over that many year span. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of years. 20-year span. It's 20-year span.
No athlete.
That's not a 1 year out booking. That's a 20-year out booking. No. We started this in 1992.
Not a single athlete has a record like that.
None.
Nothing. Nobody. He's the only person.
Definitely not Jeremy Lin from the New York Knicks. He doesn't.
For a second, I thought you said Jerry Lin.
Yeah, not Jerry Lin either. He doesn't have it. So, would you be willing, as WWE and Vince's son-in-law, mm-hmm. I mean, daddy owns the company, would you be willing to bump your main event from The Rock versus Cena as the last go-away to Hell in the Cell, Triple H versus The Undertaker?
So which is the final match?
What is the final go-away match for this WrestleMania? Would you be willing to bump Rock Cena?
I would. But then again, with the amount of money, with the drawing power that they're trying to put behind it and the marketing, Rock Cena has to be the last match.
And on top of it, this is the first time Hell in the Cell ever at a WrestleMania. That's huge.
What I want to know is, how are they going to get the cell to WrestleMania? Because they always have it up above, suspended, and then they drop it down. Are they going to go old school WrestleMania and have an intermission and actually build the cage? Or, in grand WrestleMania fashion, have it flown in via helicopter?
Well, if I remember correctly, that would be awesome. There was a cage match about 4 or 5 years ago at WrestleMania. And it was when they had the arch style hook up around the ring. It was in the middle of like Tampa Bay's field or whatever.
You
got
to think.
They probably just drop it
in the stadium that they have. There's no ceiling. There's nothing to suspend the cell from.
That's a good point. You make a very valid point.
Happens every now and again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, We are going to talk about affirmative action as well as some of the other stuff I brought up. Be prepared. My Chris Brown talk could get a little controversial. That's all I'm saying. If you're black, you probably aren't going to like my Chris Brown discussion. That's a joke. It has nothing to do with black or white or any other color. We'll be back on the queue right after this.
Let's get down to
my microphone has decided to fold in on itself, which is not helping anybody hear my beautiful voice. And by beautiful voice, I mean the voice you hear right now.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason. 314-714-4200 if you would like to join us live on the air and put your opinion in. I love everybody's opinion. Also, don't forget, check out all the shows on iWatchRadio.com. That's iWatchRadio.com. Great shows like Catch 'Em Cheatin' that's on right before us, as well as tons, Controlled Chaos. I like them. I do. Controlled Chaos, also on iWatchRadio.com. So, all right, let's talk about this affirmative action situation and a move that could potentially deprive future generations of racists their token minority friends. The Supreme Court is set to re-examine the legality of affirmative action programs this fall. That's right. The court, which functions as sort of an RA of the United States, first approved affirmative action as a method to achieve diversity in higher education in 1978. In 2003, the decision to endorse the use of race as a factor in college admissions was reaffirmed in a case involving a University of Michigan. Now, the court is preparing to review the issue once more based on a challenge from the great white hope Abigail Fisher, a college student who was denied admission to the University of Texas. Currently, the University of Texas employs two measures to ensure diversity among its students. The first is a race-blind top 10 policy, by which high school seniors in their top 10% of their class gain automatic admission to the school. So, if you're really super smart, you immediately get bumped into the University of Texas. Cool. All right. You have the same 4 years as every other high school student that you go to school with has, so that you can achieve that top 10 status, okay? It's not like they give it to some for 2 years and some for four, okay? So none of that there. That's a very fair policy, it seems like. About 3/4 of the university's freshman population is composed of students who graduate in the top tier of their high schools, which is good. The remaining 1/4 of the students are chosen via a process that includes race as a factor. Now, the Los Angeles Times explains the basis of Fisher's case as follows. And we're going to discuss this, Matt.
Okay.
Fisher's grades were not good enough to put her in the top 10% of her class from her high school, but she said her tests and grades exceeded those of many of the minority candidates that were allowed in. She sued, alleging racial discrimination in violation of the Constitution's Guarantee of Equal Protection of the Laws Act. Fisher subsequently enrolled at Louisiana State University and is due to graduate this spring. So basically, this was a few years ago, and she's already happy with her LSU degree. Owing to their full calendar, the justices will not hear the case until October, mere weeks before the presidential election. Five of the nine Supreme Court justices have stated on record that they are against the use of race as a factor in college admissions process. Now, let's talk about affirmative action. And the fact that affirmative action is one of those words that gets used and brought up quite often in general discussions between people whenever the idea of a black individual or a minority individual, either one, in the job place. I mean, that's where affirmative action's real bread and butter seems to be hilted on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really hear the college admission side of things anymore, where the law was based in 1978. Now, what's really funny about this is that she makes a very interesting claim. I'm not for or against her specifically in this case, but she's stating that her grades and her scores from high school exceeded the majority of that last fourth. Remember, three quarters of the people that go to the University of Texas
mm-hmm.
fall into that 10% top tier thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying that her grades actually were better than many of the people in the other fourth. Not the three quarters, the other fourth that are left over that have to go through this interesting policy that does take race into account. Her test scores are higher than those people. So my question is, does she have a case, Matt? Do you feel that in this case, she has a case based off the fact that her grades do kind of dictate that? Or is it just kind of the luck of the draw, the fact that she happens to be black or a minority student, didn't get the top 10% that she wanted to the first time around, and they tell them up front, race does play a factor into this other fourth. It's not like they sidelined her or sideswiped her out of nowhere
right.
with this information.
So, okay. So this girl.
Yes.
Is she white? Is she black? Is she Hispanic?
I'm assuming that she's black, or she probably wouldn't have sued.
Okay. So she didn't make it into the top 10%, right?
Yes.
Like her grades weren't good enough.
Nope. She's not part of the top 10.
To be automatically accepted.
She is not good enough to be on the Little Nicky level of filmmaking. No.
I don't even know what that means. Okay, so she didn't make it into the top 10%, and since race is a deciding factor and affirmative action is used to support minorities
True.
Into getting into the workforce or getting into college, if she is black, then why would she have been dismissed and not accepted? Now, if she is white, then if she was not accepted, even though her grades are well above all of the other applicants, then yes, she might have a case if those rules and policies weren't already in place. Since those rules and policies are already in place and she made a choice to apply to that particular college, then no, I don't think she has a case.
If you're looking at your camera right now, you can tell very clearly I'm the white guy. This guy is obviously darker in skin color than I am. This is me pulling affirmative action today and having him on my show. Because I am bright white. I'm popping hard. That's all I'm saying. And I'm fat. And I probably got some facial blemishes that you don't really appreciate. Regardless of that, I think you make a great point. It's one of those things where sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the world is not a fair place. Okay? Why did that just ding? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. No, stop. That is a pregnant woman right there. She will be very angry with you if she doesn't.
Pregnant?
Stop. No, she's formerly pregnant. Formerly pregnant and very angry about being super tired and in zombie mode. She is the Walking Dead, which I want to talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, we can talk about that.
Okay.
Ooh,
now,
did you see Eastbound and Down?
Stop.
Yeah, sorry. Stop. I get excited.
No, I haven't seen it, by the way. Basically, the world's not a fair place, ladies and gentlemen.
Never has been.
Okay?
You work hard.
You work hard to tell everyone that you are a church-going, conservative man who will lead this country into the future. Woo!
Chest chop. Okay, so anyway.
But you lose to the black guy who eventually becomes president of the United States named Barack Obama. There's nothing you can do about it. World's
equal
not fair.
Opportunity employee.
Yeah,
the equal opportunity. Affirmative action works.
The vote was a fair vote. Like, everybody got the chance to vote. Anyone who decided to get up and go to the voting place got a chance to vote.
Anybody who qualified to vote.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you're a felon or if you're...
Seven.
Yeah. 7 years old, you didn't get to vote.
So, here's the thing. If she's worried about getting into college, did she at one point decide, well, my grades aren't fantastic, but they're better than these people's. And here's the thing. If she really, really, really wanted to get into that college, and she knew beforehand that the stipulations were, hey, if you're in the top 10%, then you automatically get in. Well, guess what? She should have studied harder. She should have worked harder. She should have done better at getting good grades in high school. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it comes down to.
Work hard.
Stop suing everybody because you're a minority or you're black or you don't think it's fair.
Or you're lazy.
I mean, if there's a legitimate point of discrimination, fine. So be it. Like,
yes.
Okay.
A legitimate
You go into the donut shop, right? You go into the donut shop, you're waiting in line.
Can I have a donut?
All of a sudden, no. You're not allowed to have a donut.
Why?
There's two white people that just walked in that door, and I'm going to wait on them first. And by the way, I just told you to your face that because you are a minority or of another color, I'm going to vote on a white person. I'm going to take care of these white people, and I'm going to take care of them first. That's
it. Now that is a case.
That's a legitimate discrimination case. Okay? The fact that you just are too stupid compared to everyone else, too bad. I can't help you. Matt can't help you. He tries his best every single week to tan as much as he can to become black. It won't work. How is he supposed to make it in this world?
I gotta fit in with my clientele.
You do. You do. By the way, I want to say hello to all my listeners out there. You guys are fantastic. Keep going to theqnow.com and keep supporting. Keep emailing the show. I got some great listener emails coming up at the end of the show. But you guys are fantastic. I really appreciate every single thing that you guys do, whether it's an email from you saying, hey, you love the show, hey, you hate the show. Go to theqnow.com. Go to the comment section or the contact section and hit me up. Let me know what you think, man. I get emails every day, all day long from different people. Some of them love me, some of them hate me, some of them think I'm too controversial, some people think that I'm speaking the truth. I love it all. I don't have a problem with anybody's opinion. I say to each their own, I respect everybody's opinion equally. If this young lady feels that she was discriminated against, I respect her opinion to have that belief. And that's fine. I don't have to necessarily agree with it, and I can speak my own mind, and if she was here to defend herself, she's more than welcome. And I brought in someone right here, off color, just so that they could defend her a little bit. And even he didn't defend her. What am I supposed to do about
it? I can defend her. What are your views on the reality of a situation based on the impact of the situation? Like, let's say
a guy falls off a roof and impales his leg on a fence post. You are trying to escape a bar in the middle of a zombie-infested wasteland. Interesting, right?
What do you do? Well, you can either saw the leg off.
Yes.
You can shoot him in the face.
Yes.
Or you can forcibly rip the leg off of the fence post.
Yeah, you can do any of those things. Which would you do? I guess it dictates. If you have the time, the available time, you don't have any impending danger, you can just slice that bad boy off with, a pocket knife, preferably.
Bone saw.
Bone saw?
Who has a bone saw?
Who's just running around with a bone saw?
Macho Man?
No, he's not
anymore.
Well, he was bone saw, but he's not
running around with a bone saw.
He's not running around with a bone saw anymore. But what was your question? I'm sorry. I proposed an interesting...
It's completely off topic. Okay. Let's say you tell a... I'm going to use this as an example. Let's say you tell a dirty joke at work.
Nope.
Okay?
Okay.
Let's just say.
Wouldn't happen.
But if you did...
Yes.
And you were telling it to somebody who was comfortable with you telling them the dirty joke. They're okay with it. It's not going to affect them.
What if it's
them?
A racist joke? We were talking about
racist joke.
So let's say there's an individual.
It's a dirty racist joke.
Let's say there's a dirty racist joke that an individual constantly tells dirty racist jokes let's say, at a workplace.
And let's say you are telling this joke as a white person, saying it to a person of color,
okay.
No matter what their nationality or heritage might be.
Okay.
And they don't care. They're cool with it. But somebody off in the back, mm-hmm. standing off around the corner creeping, or just getting a drink of water, using the copy machine or whatever, also hears that joke.
Right.
You did not intend for that person to hear the joke. You did not know that they heard the joke, nor did you meaningly or forcibly try to offend them. However, if they get offended by hearing your joke by accident, that is an impact and not your intent.
Can we name this person Mike?
Sure.
I just wanted to know. It could be Mitch. I just wanted to be an M name,
yeah.
But not Mark. That's me. I'm Mark.
How about Matthew?
No, not Matthew. I just wanted to be M, and then there's M.
Okay.
Like the
so
M
then what is your view of impact over intent on, you know, the...
I think that that's an interesting question, Matt. I mean, if a person feels that vehement, I mean, that's a good word, vehement against a situation... Because they just happen to, within, you know, glaring distance, or even a simpler situation that gets brought up a lot, and I deal with it in my house now because my wife is breastfeeding. Somebody who's walking through the mall, and there's someone breastfeeding off to the side, mm-hmm. even though they might be covered up, they have that
blanket.
But it's just the idea that person's doing that right in front of them.
And that's not dirty.
And it's not even like
life-giving.
Yeah, that's life-giving. I think
that is all just perspective. That is one person's perspective.
And that is one. That's. I'm glad you brought that word. That is what I really wanted to discuss. Perspective. You know, I said a few weeks ago on the show, I felt everyone in 2012 seems to be a bit on edge.
We're cranky people.
We're very cranky people in this day.
And we don't know why. We're richer than 75% of the world.
You've got more money now than most people did back in 1778. Years after 1776.
The $12 in U.S. American currency that I have in my pocket is more than the majority of the world have total.
Yes, but if you were from Dubai...
And yet I'm still unhappy and cranky.
Your money would be worth $2.67 compared to the United States $1 bill. So you'd actually have more money if you had a U.S. $1 bill.
Should we move?
I think so.
Okay, well, the point stands. If she feels that she was slighted...
Yes.
It's the impact... Not quite the intent of the college. So there, I'll back her up on that.
All right. And that's fine. You know, stop being such pussies. Seriously.
Grow up.
Grow up. The world's not a perfect place.
The world is not here to take care of you.
Patrick Gallagher won't beat me in ping pong. The world's not a perfect place.
I'll beat you in ping pong.
He wants to beat me in ping pong. This guy wants to talk trash about beating me in ping pong. It ain't going to happen. The world's not a perfect place. Stop complaining about it. Stop telling everybody that you're going to do it. Because when I put that ass in a sling, over with. There's nothing to discuss. Done. Oh, it's like that Jeremy Lin situation. It's like that Jeremy... No. Here's the thing. That Patrick Gallagher is kind of like Jeremy Lin. For a couple weeks there, he sounds really great. He hits a few winning shots. That's great, 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 great. But 2013 happens, an entire new year. And in that new year, he ends up sitting on the bench for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And when I say sit on the bench, I mean number 11. Not number 9. Not number 6. No, he's number 11 on Oklahoma City's bench. Seriously. Or the Seattle Super... Oh, they're not even there anymore.
Who are these people?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I am so lost.
We're going to take a quick break on the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about Girl Scouts. We're going to talk about Sacha Baron Cohen.
His new movie?
His new movie. Well, actually, something that has to do with his movie. And, of course, don't forget, we got listener letters coming up at the end of the show. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back on the queue right after this.
For a buck. If you're looking for someone to pull you out of that ditch, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. Ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. The ship is sinking.
There's a leak, there's a leak in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Who are the ones that we kept in charge? Killers, thieves, and warriors. God's a way, God's a way, God's a way on business, business. God's a way. Shopping in the pit, it's a job, it's a job. Money moon rising with the plague in the front. Turn the mob, turn the mob. It's all over, it's all over, it's all over. And there's a leak in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. Is my microphone okay? Good.
No good. Can I introduce myself now?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Matthew Krueger.
I don't know why. It's not your show. Nobody cares. I mean, you care. I care. I care a little bit about you.
That's so sad.
It is sad. Yeah, my microphone's on, I think. Can you hear me? Good. All right, so welcome back to the show. We've got issues. Mental issues, most of us. Like Jeremy Lin. God, man, I'm just...
Moving on.
Sacha Baron Cohen, we talked about this before the break. You know who Sacha Baron Cohen is, right?
Borat. Ali G.
Ali G.
Some what other else? Dude.
Who was he first?
Bruno.
Yeah, he was Bruno. He was Borat first, and then he's Bruno.
He was the limo driver in... That Madonna music video?
Oh, yeah, he was music. Yeah, he played Ali G in that. He was also in the movie Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell.
Jacques Pierre? Yeah. I don't know. He made out with Will Ferrell. Who knows?
Dottie's the French. Okay. Sacha Baron Cohen could be on the verge of pulling off his biggest stunt yet. Play in mind exactly what I'm getting ready to tell you.
It's a stunt.
The biggest spotlight of the year. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that the actor wants to attend the Academy Awards on February 26th as his character, The Dictator, his latest raunchy comedy set for release by Paramount on May 11th. The question is whether the Academy will veto Cohen's attempt to add a touch of crass spectacle to the regal affair. Sources say Cohen, who was invited to attend the Oscars as part of the cast's Best Picture nominee Hugo, has informed Paramount, the studio behind both Hugo and The Dictator, of his wishes. Paramount and the Academy declined comment, but as the AMPAS source has says, the show's producers have not been informed of Cohen's plans yet. The 40-year-old British actor, well, if they weren't now the Hollywood Reporter, the 40-year-old British actor who rose to fame as the creator of the HBO's The Ali G Show, has a history of using award shows and other big events to hype his movies. To help his launch his mockumentary Borat in 2006, Cohen arrived at the Toronto International Film Festival dressed up as the TV journalist alter ego,
Venma,
riding a wagon pulled by Kazakhstani peasant women. I think the guy's a genius. At the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards, he came as a gay fashionista Bruno to promote Bruno and was later suspended over the crowd and lowered atop Eminem, who promptly stormed out, very angry.
As was his right.
And it was later revealed that the rapper was in on the joke. I mean, Eminem knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, it's all a show.
Scoot that way. Scoot that way. No, you're fine.
How far do you
want? Nope, stay right there. Stay up a little. Okay. I was going to just get you over a little. All right. The Oscars would take Cohen's shtick to a new level, exposing his dictator character, a sex-crazed Gaddafi meets Hussein ruler who fights to stop democracy from coming to his country to hundreds of millions of viewers around the world. Now, you are the runner, the president, the head honcho, the king dictator himself of the Oscars. Matthew, do you allow Sacha Baron Cohen to come to your regal affair dressed as a Hussein-like dictator?
Yes.
For what purpose?
Well, for one, it's a spectacle, which is what these award shows are in the first place.
But it's the Oscars. It's the Oscars.
What's your point?
Well, with the Oscars, I mean, it's not so much of a spectacle show like the Video Music Awards type thing. I mean, it's meant to be taken a little more seriously.
I don't take any of that crap seriously. It's the Oscars. It's an award show for, you could call them artists.
Guess who won't be a famous movie actor anytime soon? That guy right there. Okay, keep going.
And if he wants to dress up as his character, which that's what it is, it's a character. It's make-believe. It's fantasy. And if anybody is offended by it, well, guess what? Grow up. We said that earlier.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
He should be allowed to. I don't see the harm in it. He's not going to...
He's already invited as a part of the cast of Hugo.
So he's going to be there anyway.
He's going to be there anyway.
Who cares what clothes he wears?
Yeah, who cares what clothes he wears? As long as he doesn't, like, interact...
Is he going to ride up on an elephant?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You know for a fact, just based off of seeing Bruno as well as Borat, you know for a fact... He's going to pull off one of those stupid spectacles.
He's going to do something very
offensive. One of those Kanye things. He's going to go up during the best actress category, or he's going to go up during the best supporting actor category, and he's going to literally try to act as if he won the award.
Okay. So here's the thing.
You know he will.
Is it going to hurt anybody? Is it going to harm anybody? Is he going to show somebody up? If anything else, I think it's going to be that he shows somebody up and somebody's not going to be getting the spotlight or attention completely focused on them. And being that most of them are egomaniacs in Hollywood, I believe that that might not sit very well with people.
Very possible.
Or that particular individual. Taylor Swift handled it very, very well. She's, you know, young and Kanye's an idiot, but, you know, it worked out well. People watched it. That happened, and I can guarantee you that every website that had that video up of Kanye West stepping in on Taylor Swift got millions of hits.
Okay.
That video's been seen plenty. Controversy creates cash. A very good,
it does.
Smart businessman said that. Once before. Who knows what he's doing now?
Okay,
he's
now.
Running a company into the ground.
Chris Brown. You know who Chris Brown is?
Yeah. Hi. Rihanna, I'm Chris.
Oh. Okay, so here's the situation.
I hear they're back together.
Chris Brown. Won a Grammy Award first off, he performed at the Grammy Awards and did a really good routine. It was a very entertaining routine, decent song, and I think everybody enjoyed it. Now, one, the fact that he performed at the Grammys pissed a lot of people off. But then to turn around, because the Grammys are kind of like the Academy Awards, it's voted on by the peers.
Mm-hmm.
To turn around and win an award for Best Rap Album really made people angry.
Is he a rapper?
And a lot of this, well, R&B rapper, they kind of all run in the same when it comes to that at the mm-hmm. Grammy Awards. I mean, there's a distinction, but the distinction, like, you could have an R&B album, but like 90% of it is features by rappers who are in the other category. And okay. Your whole album is not nothing, but it's
so,
just ridiculous.
So let's just say, Whitney Houston, Toni Braxton, and Vanessa Williams, they are R&B singers, right?
Yes.
Would they ever be up for Best Rap Album?
If
Chris Brown is an R&B superstar.
He might have won for R&B Album. I'm not sure right off the top of my head at this point.
Steely Dan winning Best Rock Album when Metallica should have won. What was that, 15 years ago, 10 years ago?
That's weird. That's just really weird. Okay. So, anyway.
Steely Dan.
Chris Brown took a lot of flack because a few years ago, of course, there was the situation with Rihanna where he beat her in a car, and then she went to the police.
How do we know he just didn't do a roundhouse jump dance move?
Oh, no. They released the police report of Rihanna's testimony and all that, of putting her in the headlock and continually punching her as he's driving away at 60 miles an hour in the car. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, when you
That's
read
an
the police
action movie.
Yeah, when you read the police report, you're thinking action movie. Like, this is a scene from an action movie of some sort where, like, they kidnap the girl and you just keep punching her as they're driving away with her and stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. Okay. It was a really bad beating, and she's got the pictures to prove it. Now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he admitted and said he was sorry for it. He didn't mean to do that. And, of course, everybody chastised him for that. And then now it's the fact that he's come back around. He's still popular. People are kind of angry at the fact that, hey, how dare Chris Brown still be popular? Blah, 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 blah. How dare he get any kind of success out of the fact, after the fact, of
beating.
Just
because your mind is screwed up and you think beating women is a good idea or cool does not take away from the fact that you can still be a very accomplished and very good
artist.
You know, artist or musician or dancer, those are still things. And as much as I dislike the Academy Awards or the Oscars or the VMAs or any type of those ridiculous, what I call spectacles, you should not be judged in those things for your activities outside of the industry.
Never. You should never be judged for what you do in your time off. That doesn't make beating women okay. I'm just saying you should never be judged.
I did not say that.
For all the things that you do in your time off, because there's a lot of people that have hobbies outside of whatever normal jobs they have. Mm-hmm. Beating women is not one of is not what I consider a hobby. That's not a good thing. But my point is that there are people that get chastised for way less than beating a woman outside of their own personal jobs. In fact, there are people that lose jobs, like, I don't know, school teacher, because they're in the middle of wrestling one time. On a Monday night.
Or a school teacher who might have appeared in a less than questionable movie.
Very possible. Or someone who likes to read children's books who used to be a porn actress. We don't know. There's things that people do all the time. My point is this. So all that happens, Chris Brown takes his lumps, and then this week, after winning the Grammys, after the performance and taking the lumps for that, especially...
Chris Brown took his lumps.
After that.
Instead of giving them.
Here... this week, the remix of the song Birthday by Rihanna features a infamous invite by her abusive ex-boyfriend, Chris Brown, to contribute a verse for the song, which he did. So they've now collaborated on a song after the beating, after the chastise, after the taking the lumps, after the public scrutiny. Now they're... Oh, Jesus.
Monster. Somebody's excited.
I was very excited. Very excited. Very excited. Now, in a weird, strange twist of events, the person who was the biggest person, hopefully, against getting beat, which would be the person who got beat, now is accepting back. And this guy has the balls in the first sentence of his verse on the song. The first sentence of his verse on a song says, "Girl, I want to fuck you right now. Been a long time. I've been missing your body."
That sounds like a compliment.
Okay. I'm going to defend Chris Brown for 1 second. That's a stupid line. It doesn't make any sense, and I don't care what song you're using it for. Especially your situation, you should be a little bit smarter about how you write your stuff. But... there should be absolutely no public scrutiny any further against Chris Brown. If the person who was beaten by him is willing to take him back.
Forgive him.
And forgive him and put him on a song and make him more popular.
Make him money.
Make him money.
Throwing cash at him.
You beat me, here's more money. We shouldn't be complaining about Chris Brown. We should be... having a problem with Rihanna.
She does like chains and whips.
Doesn't matter. We should have a problem with Rihanna. Rihanna is the person we should have an issue with at this point. Yes, when you were getting beat and we were on your side, cool. The minute you take him back, you are the reason why these situations don't go well. You are giving all the women who've done that in the past You're giving them credibility for the decision that they made to take them back. So every person who's ever argued against someone for getting beaten and said, don't go back to that guy. He beat you. He's a bad person. You need to get out of that relationship and move on with your life. You're giving them credence now when they take him, when you take him back. You're like, oh, it's okay if you get beaten by these people. Just take him back if it's cool. And you're going to sit there and say, well, no, it's not like we're together. It's not like we're best friends. You know, it's just, no, it's worse than best friends. Here's a completely no strings, that, like, at least if you used to be married and there was a kid involved, there would be like something there holding everyone together and making them think, oh.
There would be a reason for you to talk.
Yeah, there's a kid. Like, there's a string attached there. No, there was no string attached. You guys broke up. You're in separate entourages, hundreds of miles away from each other at all times. You're like, let's create some bridges. Let's create some music so that we can get together and talk. You're an idiot.
I wonder whose idea it was.
I support Chris Brown on this one. Good job, Chris. This is controversial. Good job, Chris. Get your money.
Capitalism at its finest.
Why not? If they're dumb enough to take you back after beating them, then they're stupid enough to lose the money for it. They should be putting it into your account anyway. Ridiculous. That's my 2 cents on that.
Sounds like everything worked out well for him.
I've been talking about Jeremy Lin all night. Do you know who Jeremy Lin is?
I have no idea who Jeremy
is. Okay, let's talk about this. Anthony Federico, the ESPN editor, fired this past week for his unfortunate use of the phrase. Jeremy Lin is a basketball player who played basketball for Harvard.
He's really tall.
He's an Asian.
He wants his family to be left alone, I heard.
Wait, no. And are you talking about Yao Ming?
No. Jeremy Lin, I read something about this on Yahoo. He was like, because his family can't go to work or walk down the street without being hounded. He had recently made comment that he wants his family to be his family's privacy to be respected.
Okay, basically.
And yeah, I heard
basically,
about
basically, here's what happened.
I heard it about the guy's comment.
2 weeks ago, there was 2 basketball games that happened on back-to-back days.
He's really good.
On one day, well, no, hold on. Because that's not the truth. Like, no.
Isn't he averaging like 28 points a game?
No, that doesn't count. No. If you're really good at basketball, when you play in college, you get drafted. Like, you're in the top 5 guys that get drafted. Mm-hmm. Or you're in the top 30 guys that get drafted. And I don't even know if he was. Maybe he was. It's so possible.
Explain Kurt Warner then?
It happens. That's my point. It's a luck situation.
So Jeremy Lin got lucky.
Hear me out.
I'm listening.
So this Jeremy Lin guy gets a shot to play, at this point now, what I would consider mid-season for this basketball year, since it took him so long to get the damn season started in the first place. Jeremy Lin comes in basically mid-season. Jumps onto the court, has a couple really decent games, hits a game winner and a couple other things like that. Everybody goes crazy. It's Lin-teresting. It's Lin-tastic. Blah, 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 blah.
It's Lin-sanity.
We live in St. Louis. It's Lin-sanity. We live in St. Louis. We don't even have a basketball team.
We don't care.
We have Mizzou. And if they're not winning, we just don't even care about them.
It's like,
but everybody, oh, we're all big basketball fans. I got it. Okay, so he does good for like 2 or 3 games total. 2 other games. Place is going nuts in New York. You know why? Because they haven't had a decent player in New York since Patrick Ewing left. Literally. Since John Starks and Patrick Ewing put their bags away forever, they haven't had nothing. Literally. Like, Charles Oakley might have been the last player, maybe. Done.
Nobody knows who
that is. Nobody knows.
They got Spike Lee.
Yeah. They have Spike Lee sitting courtside every game. That's all they have. All right. So, he does this. Now, ESPN has a writer. And this writer wrote that when they lost a game last week when Lin was starting and playing, mm-hmm. after all the fan fodder, okay, they lost a game. He posted the headline on ESPN's website, Chink in the Armor. Okay.
I thought that was... Sorry.
It's funny. No, it's funny.
I thought it was clever.
It's a clever play on words, but here's the funny thing. What's worse is, he says, this is what the guy, he got fired for making that comment. Because they said it was a racist comment or a racial comment or, you know, prejudice.
Just so happened to be a convenient...
Okay. He said, this had nothing to do with me being cute or punny. That's who Anthony Federico told the Daily News. I'm sorry that I offended people. I'm so sorry I offended Jeremy. Bull crap! You knew what you were doing! He's the only Asian player even making a name for himself! There is no way that you would have said chink in the armor if that would have been LeBron James. You would have just said chink in the armor of a Miami Heat cover story. If after like 12 games straight, LeBron James went on a 40-point per game like killing streak, which he could potentially do.
But what if he did?
You wouldn't call it chink in the armor.
He could.
No, what you did was you found...
It's a popular phrase. It's a chink in the armor.
You
found the chink in the armor to get things done.
You found a funny pun. Like, if your basketball team's name was the Knights, Knights wear armor, I could potentially see you going, well, they're the New York Knights. Knights wear armor. Knights. You could have a chink in the armor. Knights, like, it's potential.
Knights, Knicks, let's just say he's dyslexic.
Cool. They knew they were saying that the dude was Asian.
And who cares?
Chink. Chink is the derogatory name.
Let's say he did do it on purpose. What is so offensive about it? It's clever and it was a compliment. Wasn't it?
I think it's hilarious that he tried to play it off. Dude, just own up to what you did. I know you're trying to save your job. Listen, I'm not knocking you for trying to save your job. You got to make money in this world. You know what I'm saying? And just because you make one stupid comment or pun, that doesn't mean you're the worst person in the entire world. But at the same point, major networks like that, they're going to take a person.
What's the guy's name?
Anthony Federico.
Anthony Federico, I have a message for you. Don't worry about future employment because if Don Imus can come back, so can you.
The more you know.
The more you know.
All right, let's get to some letters from the fans before we get out of here on the queue. Mark. Thank you for taking time to read this letter. I know it's long, but maybe you can help me figure this out.
Okay.
Are you ready for this one, Dr. Kruger?
So even though it's addressed to you, can I still answer?
Yes, you can.
Sweet.
I have a long-standing crush on a coworker. He would even say that I had an emotional affair of sorts with him. I would do really fun things with him and not tell my boyfriend or even lie to him about what I was doing.
Dangerous.
Eventually, I broke up with my boyfriend, thinking this would allow me to pursue a real, honest relationship with the crush. Nope. Nothing physical ever happened, but I wanted to. Bad timing. My crush had just met someone new. Eventually, boyfriend and I got back together, but now the crush is single again. I still think I could have something with my crush, but I don't want to take the chance of losing my boyfriend again if it turns out my crush doesn't share my feelings. Am I a terrible person for essentially keeping my boyfriend as the consolation prize?
Yes, you are. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. It's a horrible thing to try to do. You obviously don't feel that anything is going perfectly well in the relationship that you already have. You shouldn't keep him on the hook. You owe it to him, depending on how long you've been with him.
Yes.
And the relationship and how strong it is, or honestly, what it sounds like, it's not very strong at all. If you respect the guy at all, you should just tell him the truth and let him go.
Right. I mean, the truth is, Matt keeps me around because his other friends won't call him anymore. I take it personal. It's ridiculous. I don't think it's fair, and he just won't own up to it. Matt, do you keep me around because your other friends won't call anymore?
No.
Oh, see? Like, I don't know!
Never.
What am I supposed to do with this?
Acceptance is the key.
You're a dirty slut. Stop it.
Sometimes.
Don't string someone along. Don't tell them you're going to beat them in ping pong when you really don't have the ability to. Don't string people along. Okay, next. I am divorcing my husband after 9 years of marriage. We had problems for years, which worsened after he had an affair. I knew months ago I was no longer happy and tried to work on the marriage, but it was pretty much one-sided. 4 months ago, I slept with someone. I knew I couldn't have done it if I was still in love with my husband, so I decided to end the marriage myself.
Now, this chick seems like she has something going.
I have chosen not to tell him because it would only cause pain to him and my children. Hmm. I am very nervous because I confided in my cousin and don't feel confident she will keep the secret. I am not sure what to do. I don't want anyone to hurt any more than they already do, and I am filled with regret and guilt. Where do you think I stand on this issue?
Well, if you're already filled with regret and guilt, the answer seems to be quite obvious. You need to
Say words to these people!
You need to kill your cousin.
Well, yes.
Or...
Yes.
You need to find a very, very smart scientist,
yes.
Fuck his brains out, and have him build you a time machine and go back into the past and kill your parents. That way you're never born.
Potential.
Because you kind of screwed up and...
You should. Honesty is the best policy.
Okay, last one. Mark, when are you going to do the ping pong championship? I really want to see if you got any game. Well, I do. And it's coming. And then take a crack at this. Recently, I was sitting on the bus and I'm quite short. My legs were dangling. Some guy who wasn't looking where he was going tripped over my foot and went flying. He and everyone else on the bus glared at me like it was deliberate. The man next to me even changed seats in disgust. I was then asked by the bus driver to kindly exit the bus five stops away from where I was supposed to get off. Should I / can I sue the bus company in my town for discrimination? This is just an embarrassment situation. You really are not going to be able to prove that you weren't doing it deliberately.
Buses have cameras, I believe.
Buses do have cameras in some cities. It depends on how small the town is. If this was like Springfield, Missouri, I don't think that they do.
Missouri.
This is one of those chalk it up to screw the bus company, and man, you got suckered on a situation. It's not your fault. There's not much you can really do about it. Take your lumps, move on. Don't beat a woman. Don't win a Grammy. I don't know. That's about all I can say about that. I don't think you can sue.
I don't think you can either. I don't think there's a case.
I mean, it's at their discretion to kick you off the bus.
Maybe write a letter of showing your discontention.
Discontent.
And
send it to other people.
Send it to them and see what happens. And if anything happens, they might just tell you to shove it up your butt. And who knows?
Pretty much. All right, ladies
Start
and gentlemen.
Start taking cabs. Or
it's time.
Buy a bicycle.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to thank you, Matt Krueger, so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. It was awesome having you on the show today. I also want to thank iWatch Radio for hosting the show every single week. iWatchRadio.com. You can now see what we're talking about. Go check out all the great shows over there. Visit the site Q, theqnow.com. 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 That's the website where you can find out about past episodes of the show, future episodes of the show, what's going on in our lives, a little bit about myself. If you want to contact me, find out where our Twitter and our Facebook are and all that. That's how you get a hold of me. That's how these people email me each week with these interesting things that they want me to try to help them out with. So go to theqnow.com. Also, tell your friends and family about the show. Tell them about The Q Now. Tell them. Have them listen to the show. Help the show grow. If you like the show, help it grow. Tell other people about it. I don't mind if they like me or they hate me. You know, I'm open to everybody. Also, call into the show. Be a part of it every single week. Wednesday nights live at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on iWatchRadio.com. Also, donations. You can hit me up. Contact page on The Q's website, theqnow.com. There's a contact page. Hit me up. Ask me about how to donate to the show if you want to support the show. My name is Mark Bland, ladies and gentlemen. I was joined tonight by Matthew Krueger, and I want to say God bless every single one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of The Q this week. We'll see you guys next time on the show.